Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm looking at the 33rd team, which the 33rd team is really, really good. If y'all aren't subscribed, it is a great site to find NFL information. Great, great writers, guys who've been in the league and whatnot for a year. Joe Banner wrote an article, Black Monday is upon us. Next Monday, this coming Monday is Black Monday.
Yep.
Where NFL coaches get fired. That's the day after the last regular season game.
A lot of coaches already have a feeling they know what's going down. But it's a nerve-wracking day for coaches, yeah. Scouting departments, it's after the draft.
Yeah.
Because you're contract until after the draft, and then it's like, uh-oh.
Yep. I just can't. I mean, college, it's right after the championship games or right after your last regular season game. And that's right before Christmas. That just sucks. I don't know how coaches do it. The new year is always tentative for NFL coaches. The summer is tentative for scouts.
Right.
The college coaches. There is a flurry of activity and job changes right before Christmas, which just sucks for a lot of guys. I don't know how they do it. If you want to know the truth, they deserve to be paid. Not as well as they're paid, but they deserve to be paid. There's no question about that. Most likely to make a change, according to Joe Banner.
Most likely to make a change?
Team to most likely coach to get fired.
Hold on. Because it's already happening. He's not going to say Houston.
Lovie Smith.
Really?
Most likely to get fired. Here's what he says. No surprise here. It's based on the record and a leadership group that needs to make dramatic improvements. Frankly, if I were running this team, I'd make a change with the head coach and the general manager, mostly because I don't think in his 2 years with Houston, the GM, Nick Caseri, has demonstrated he can fix problems and make the Texans a contender. Nevertheless, I don't see that happening. I believe the Texans will keep Caseri. But he's going to join him in a search for a head coach. That's because the current one, Lovie Smith, is almost certain to be fired next week. Lovie is someone who is liked and respected, but he's had two stints in the NFL as a head coach and one in college with a record of 19-52-1 in his last six seasons, including 17-39 at Illinois. He's kept the Texans playing hard, but that's not good enough. They don't view him as the coach to take them to the next level. So look for a change. With one of the younger candidates out there, his most likely successor. The Texans want to have a youth movement, and I believe they'll be aggressive and fearless in a search for their next head coach. I disagree with Joe Banner. I think they're going to stick with it another year.
I do, too.
I don't think that first of all, are you going to get the guy that you really, really want on a team that is still in such disarray?
Well, now, if there are no such thing as contracts or whatever. Do you have, look, I'm all for coaches. You know, to me, coaches need more time when it's a mess. I haven't seen enough to make me think that what they've got going on in the building right now is going to keep, has a chance to keep getting better moving forward. I don't have anything that gives me that vibe. Now, maybe if you changed offensive coordinator, it would, you know, help. I mean, you clearly need more players, but I don't, that's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about you. I don't think they make a change because I don't see them going one and done, two straight coaches. It'd be the first time in history.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever been done in NFL history.
And it's just such a bad look. I mean, if you want to know, well, but here's the deal is
you're telling coaches, you
do
can't,
you think you yeah. feel like Caserio is hanging on by a string? No, I don't either. I don't either. I don't disagree with Caserio with what Caserio has done so far. He's had a very difficult road to navigate. I don't think there's any question about that. Through with the Deshaun thing, I thought he did a great job. Mm-hmm. I think that he has had some good. He's had some success in the draft. He's had a couple of what could be a real possible failures. He's gone out on a limb with Stingley and maybe with Kenyon Green here. But he Petrie and Pierce appear to be really good picks. They picked up some really good guys. They found guys, street guys. Okoronkwo has been a nice addition. Tre'Mont Smith. So they've done a nice job in some areas. And obviously there's failings, but there's failings in every organization. If you think that every pick is going to be the Stingley thing was a bit of a. Is a bit of a conundrum for him, though. I really do believe that could well bite him when you got when the number three overall pick. He better not screw up this one. And if he does, this number one overall pick or number two overall pick, whatever it's going to be, then he's really, really in some hot water. And he better perform right away if you want to know the truth. You can't. Bryce Young, it sure would be nice. Boy, the Jets are saying right now, we really screwed up with LaFleur, their OC. Said, I think we really screwed up with Zach Wilson. We threw him into the fire. He wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? You got no choice on this, Bryce Young.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that all these NFL teams know that the Chiefs were able to get it done, and it benefited them.
Mm-hmm.
They knew he needed time because he was coming from air raid, and he had so much to learn. Zach Wilson could have absolutely – most quarterbacks are not ready for it, but you're cast into a spot where you have to. Because your fan base wants it, your owner wants it, you get a maximum of 5 years before you got to pay a guy. Like Aaron Rodgers, who's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen in pro football. He, all things considered, I'm not even sure it's close. You know, mobility, arm talent, velocity, everything. He sat for the better part of 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love is on the same track right now, and I'm not saying he's, but that's almost unheard of. It's like, well, Jordan Love's done. Like, not done as a player, but done as a Packer because his time, they're not going to have time to, like, how can they re-sign him? What kind of money would they give him when he's not going to play for the first, basically, 3 years?
Yeah.
You know, and be a starter. Kyler Murray probably could have used a year. Baker Mayfield could have used a year. Most quarterbacks. I remember my dad telling me getting into college, Alan Faneca got really pissed off at him. I'm not sure. Well, I don't know if it was about this, but I'm not sure it's about this at all. But he was redshirt, and it was the best thing that happened to him. He wasn't ready. This is a Hall of Fame offensive lineman. He wasn't ready at LSU his freshman year. My dad was a coach here, but he's like, man, the next year, you know, just completely took off. And I think the same thing, it probably more so, is true for quarterbacks. What you want to make sure, that the Texans initially wanted David Carr to sit behind Kent Graham. Kent Graham came in out of shape and all this stuff, and I've heard the story on that. And David Carr, they said, well, let's put David Carr in there. Well, I don't know if he would have been a successful NFL quarterback, but he got the brakes beaten off of him because the offensive line wasn't ready. And I think it struck him mentally. He had a hard time not checking everything down. Like, he couldn't look down the field. It was bad. Zach Wilson, you threw him in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The Mormon kid from BYU who had really one really big season, you threw him in at New York.
Is he Mormon really, though? I mean, we've heard the stories about his girlfriend and his mom's friend. I'm not sure that's really very Mormon of him.
He's waiting.
If you want to know the truth.
Did he have
New York chain?
Has he had coffee or Coca-Cola? Maybe not.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, extramarital stuff going on.
There's things you can probably do that don't count?
Not the stuff he was doing to his mom's friend.
That's just your little internet telling you that. That doesn't mean that really happened. It
really probably did.
Well, he would have gotten kicked off BYU if he did.
Well, surprisingly, he didn't get kicked off the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly.
He must not have heard about it. But, no. But Zach Wilson was not ready for that. He needed time, and like Hendon Hooker will need time. Hendon Hooker's his offense is so basic, it's unbelievable. But it fits him good. But you're not going to run that in the NFL, so he's going to need time to see a different. And he's got an ACL tear. He's going to need a year.
Well, that's a guy that you can though, but not the number one overall pick. And Hendon Hooker's not going to be the number one overall pick. You're not going to sit. Bryce Young or, I don't know, C.J. Stroud or Will Levis or whomever, that number one quarterback, or that Will Anderson or that Jalen Carter, that number one pick is on the field. Game one, period. And especially with this offensive line and the way they protect, I mean, you want to throw, it is going to be very rough. Listen, if Lovey's back, Pep Hamilton has got to go. Pep Hamilton cannot be taking over and running this offense for this young kid. Just can't. Because what we've seen out of Pep Hamilton this year, I laugh at people. The play calling was terrible. You know, it is kind of a joke. But I can tell you this. Pep Hamilton did Davis Mills no favors this year. No favors. Mm-hmm. Now, also, zero weapons. That really hurt. Brandon Cooks was down for a while. Nico Collins was down for a while.
It has not been. Look, if you're honest, it's not been optimal for Davis Mills.
No. It's been
the worst team in football for three straight years.
No.
It's rarely going to be optimal for any quarterback.
Well, that offensive, Kenyon Green trying to protect and no weapons. You did have a running game, so you know what? We said you got to give the kid a running game. You gave him a running game. You had Damian Pierce. Of course, they screwed the pooch on that, too, quite often with their substitution patterns. But they really, really – I feel bad for Davis Mills. On another team, listen, he might be Mac Jones.
Watching all the court, honestly, from that draft class right now, you go, okay, Trevor Lawrence won. I guess – I mean, Justin Fields still really hasn't learned to be an NFL passer. He's great with his legs,
yeah.
But it's not turning into wins. Here they are looking at, you know,
their defense isn't the same either, though.
No.
They're not the Bears.
No, but their offense has been really they had about a 2 or 3 week run where they were scoring points, and then kind of went in a tank again.
Zach Wilson.
You got Zach, who's been Trey Lance, incomplete. Zach Wilson looks like a bust. Mac Jones is okay.
Well,
just okay.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't have an offensive coordinator, so that's awfully difficult.
No, I know. But right now, that's what it feels like. But Davis Mills is just okay. I think Davis Mills is still, you still throw him in the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he wasn't drafted in the first, but to me, you still throw Davis Mills in the group. I mean, Justin Fields ran for 1,000 yards, which is great. But as a passer, it's just like, Zach Wilson's a disaster.
Yeah.
But he's still young, but I just feel like it's never going to happen for him. Trey Lance, I have no idea. Mac Jones, yeah, he needs some things. But so does Davis Mills. I'm not trying to tell you, don't worry. I'm not trying to get Davis Mills. I'm not trying to have him as a long-term solution. I know fans don't support Davis Mills, so I'm not going to, you know, even try that.
You better climb on that bandwagon then, okay?
What
or
bandwagon?
Do you want people to hate you?
What bandwagon?
The Davis Mills bandwagon. We hate Davis Mills bandwagon.
Well, I just think
if
he needs to...
If you don't climb on, then people will hate
you.
Yeah,
he needs to get to another team with some things. But here's my question. Can Davis Mills become a... Not Daniel Jones, because Daniel's also an athletic guy. Can Davis Mills become a... I mean, you want to shoot for better than Heinicke. Who is kind of a middling starter in the league? Let me think. I mean, it's kind of Mac Jones, but can he become a Jimmy Garoppolo?
Davis Mills, yeah. Jimmy's won big. I mean, I don't
know. No, he has, but is Jimmy the reason? Is he because of, or?
No, he's.
Are you winning big because of Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't think so. I think Jimmy's
I
just
don't
done
think
his,
it's despite,
I think Jimmy's
I
know, done his
but
job.
I don't think it's despite either.
No.
I know, but.
No,
yeah.
I think he's done his job. Can Davis Mills be a Jimmy Garoppolo, do your job quarterback if he's surrounded with all the really good stuff? I actually think he might be able to. I mean, but only because I've seen flashes. I've also seen flashes of, ooh, this ain't it. Yeah. So I don't really know. It doesn't matter. He's not going to be the guy in Houston. Really shouldn't be the guy in Houston moving forward. I think you gotta shoot higher than that, than Davis Mills. And Davis is another guy who, I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a mentally weak guy, though.
No.
I don't feel like he's a scared quarterback or anything like that. I don't feel like he's been broken mentally.
All right, we got a break. Yuli Gurriel has signed.
So it is official?
Or has he?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, let's talk a little siding and windows.
Allstate Windows and Siding.
Oh, we got Brian Fisher coming up.
.com.
Next.
AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's what I'm talking about. Now is the time for you to get your windows and get your siding done from AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. You know, I'll just tell you, right now, I want to focus for a second on the siding part of it, because that's something a lot of people don't really think about. If you have dilapidated wood, it's a no-brainer. You're going to go with Allstate Windows and Siding, because their siding, the Hardy Plank siding, is amazingly durable. It's sturdy. And the bottom line is, there's no more painting, staining, and repairing your home. With home siding from Allstate Windows and Siding, you got a huge selection of colors and quality products, and their siding is durable. It stands up to the wind, the weather, the humidity. It's not going to fall apart. Now, humidity is eventually going to get your wood, right? And in many cases, it already has happened. Well, now is the maybe you've got a leaky a gutter somewhere and it's been doing damage to the wood. You're not going to find that with the siding. It's unbelievably durable, and you can get $2,500 off complete siding job and 24 months interest-free financing when you visit AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Discounts for senior citizens, military, and first responders as well. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Call them at 832-204-1936.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, Brian Fisher's joining us here, college football writer for Fox Sports. Before, there was some breaking news. Well, anyway, breaking news, we're not sure. Carlos Baerga wrote last night that Yuli Gurriel had signed a one-year deal with the Red Sox, but now he says it's rumored. It's not confirmed. So we will talk about that at the bottom of the hour here. Right now, though, Brian Fisher, at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N-D, Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, joining us here to talk some college football. Brian, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you.
We appreciate you being here. Brian, we got a lot of talk about quarterbacks here because the Texans will have the number one overall pick. This might be two different. Who do you think is the best pro prospect out there in college football right now, and who do you think was the best college quarterback this year that would be eligible for the draft?
Well, I think you look at the best college quarterback, it's certainly Bryce Young. You know, what he was able to do as the Heisman Trophy winner last year, and really follow it up with, you know, less than a stellar supporting cast. He's been terrific, and he's everything that you want in terms of a guy playing the position, that feel inside the pocket, the way he can hit those big passes downfield. You know, he checks off all those boxes except for size. And so it's going to be very curious to see him kind of go through that process in terms of, measurables and going to the combine and throwing, because I think, scouts who maybe have not gotten eyes on him in person are certainly going to be swayed a little bit by that, not taking anything away from his game, which is terrific. And so, I think that does kind of add to that semifinal appearance by C.J. Stroud, because I think if you kind of look at, what he brings to the table, you kind of saw a little bit of an added element there in terms of the run game and his ability to move around, which is not something that he showed all that often. You know, he had a pretty clean pocket for most of his tenure there at Ohio State, but in terms of, arm strength, accuracy down the field, getting into that rhythm and kind of lighting guys on fire, he might end up being QB1 by the end of the day. And so I think it's going to be a big decision, I think, for the Texans with that number one pick, should they get it. I mean, there's going to be a lot going into that decision. And certainly there are other candidates, including Bryce Young's teammate, Will Anderson, there.
Yeah, I think it's curious that, and I've been guilty of this, Will Levis's play this year is just not very good. It's not number one pick of the draft. But we've seen guys, Anthony Richardson's play was extremely sporadic at times, especially as a passer, and he's going to move up the charts. We already know how this works with quarterbacks. Does it? The traits will matter to an extent ahead of the tape. But C.J. Stroud, you know, Texan fans talk about Will Levis. They talk about Bryce Young. But no one talks about C.J. Stroud. And I think it's interesting that you mentioned that there's a shot that he could end up becoming QB1 when it's all said and done. He does have size. He's accurate. And as we saw in the in the playoff game, we don't see it often in games, Brian, but he can run a little bit when he chooses to.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think he's going to wow people. You know, in interviews, he's got a great backstory, you know, coming out from California into that system with Ryan Day. And you know, I think, honestly, he's probably the most pro-ready of the guys outside of Bryce Young. You know, I think there are certainly the questions surrounding, you know, Will Levis are long. You know, and I think people are just almost completely betting on upside. You know, he did show some flashes throughout the season. You know, I'm not taking anything away there. But, you know, there was not the kind of jump that you kind of would have expected going into the year. Maybe that's down to the offensive coordinator change. Maybe that's the supporting casting, you know, less than stellar there at Kentucky. But it does make for a really fascinating first round, given, as we've seen, the number of NFL quarterbacks that have ended up taking snaps this year. You know the premium that gets put on that position, probably even more so going into this draft, given how there were just not a ton of options last year. So it does add a ton of intrigue there, especially in the first round.
Brian Fisher, Fox Sports, also host of The Head Coach U and going for two podcasts here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brian, this game on Monday night, we're torn on it, 13.5 points. I hesitate to bet against TCU, but this Georgia team, I think, puts it, I don't know. How do you see this one coming out on Monday?
You know, it does seem like one of the more unpredictable type of title games, even despite that big old line. And I think, you know, everybody just understands there's a respect factor there for TCU. You know, I mean, what they've been able to do time after time, all those comebacks, they really are just not out of games. You know, that is the remarkable thing. You know, they get down early in the first half by double digits, and you're just kind of thinking, all right, well, they'll end up making their way back. And, you know, they did it again in the Big 12 title game. You know, they've done it just time after time. And you know, a lot of that comes down to Max Duggan making plays, and he was not the most accurate of passers there against Michigan, but when they needed a big play, he came through. And so I think that is kind of the thinking going into this one. If he can have an even better game than he had in that semifinal, if that defense plays as physical as they did against Michigan, I think the Horned Frogs have got a chance. And, you know, the great equalizer will, of course, be turnovers. Not something Georgia does a ton, and they've been able to get away with it when they have, but I think if they end up committing some early turnovers, maybe get into a little bit of hold, get those little nerves even for a veteran team. It's going to be fascinating to see play out there on Monday night.
Brian Fisher joins us talking our college football. And this is Will Anderson. Will Anderson, very talented pass rusher, saw a little more attention this year, did not have the crazy stats from last year, still got to double-digit sacks. You know, when I watched him and wrote him up, Brian, there's no question the scheme at Alabama gives guys opportunities. There's a lot of twists and stunts and things like that that you have to do. Sometimes you're the dirty work guy, and sometimes you're the beneficiary. But Will has all the tools and traits necessary to keep getting sacks on the NFL level. I'm going to be curious to see how Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech really shoots up the board, because one thing I know is guys who have his size and length and potential really get people excited. Will Anderson's going to probably top out at about 250, 252 pounds. Tyree Wilson, we're going to be looking at a guy who's like 6'6", 280 pounds when it's all said and done. And teams love that kind of potential.
And he's freakishly athletic. And so I think when you talk about going through some of those testing, you know, when you're talking about the three-cone drill and some of that stuff, if he tests off the charts, well, like some think he will, you know, I can definitely see him shooting up draft boards. And, you know, he's also a guy that, you know, I think has the production on tape from this past year. You know, you get into the Big 12, you have a lot of those obvious passing downs. You know, he's been able to kind of add to his repertoire this year. And I think that's helped, showing that growth level despite you know, having that inherent athleticism, and it's going to make for a really fun, I think, top of the draft this year, because it is it's so fluid. You know, I think at the top, there's not really that kind of clear number one prospect. You probably would lean Will Anderson at this point, but you know, I think, you know, stats wise, certainly down. A lot of that was just due to, because you know, teams are paying even more attention than they were a year ago to him. But it just does make for a fascinating draft board up at the top, and especially with some of those defensive guys that I think will grade out in terms of the actual grade a little bit higher than their offensive counterparts early in draft.
Brian Fisher, Fox Sports, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, when I watched that Tulane-USC game, all I could think of, Brian, I can't wait till a 12-team playoff, because that would have been one heck of a – and in the semifinals, how good those games were. Are you looking forward to a 12-team playoff, or are you a 4-team guy?
Oh, I'm all about the 12-teamer. And I think, especially during the regular season, just the way it adds to team seasons, and really nobody's kind of out of it. It's almost like being a basketball tournament time when you kind of get that one team that just gets a little bit hot at the end. You can see those upsets. Now, is a Tulane, a Boise State, TCU back in the Mountain West days, are they, truly national title contenders when you're kind of adding that extra bar of playing additional games against high-caliber talent? Probably not. But it just adds so much to the game in terms of, just having those meaningful contests throughout the season. And so I think it's going to help. We are going to get those occasional upsets, like at Tulane over USC, and just there's a shock factor. I think when the first one of those happens, especially being on campus for those early rounds, I think it's going to be, really serve as a highlight for all of college football and what it kind of brings to the table.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun, too. I do. There's still the detractors, but... Man, I tell you what, that was so. Of course, these semifinals haven't been great games in the past. This week, we got a treat this past weekend.
We did, and I'm almost kind of like curious, because we got two back to back fantastic semifinals. Are we going to end up with kind of a blowout, like we kind of have been in the title games? So that's a little bit of the worry. Certainly, line kind of suggests that a little bit. But, I'm just thrilled to get there in Los Angeles on Monday and really see two teams that, they're going for history. I mean, we just do not see stories like TCU, the way the roster is built, having a first-year coaching staff, the leap from 5-7 a year ago, pick seventh going into the Big 12 this year, to have that kind of fairy tale story potentially in right there, kind of in the shadow of the Hollywood sign. Versus Georgia going back, back to back, and all that mean for a program that, let's face it, even before last year, the kind of theory was, the talk about it was, can they get over the hump? Well, now they're the gold standard in college football. So I'm going to be very curious to kind of see what storylines emerge out on Monday.
Absolutely. That's Brian Fisher at Brian, BRYAND, Fisher, FISCHER, on Twitter, college football writer for Fox Sports. Hey, great talking to you. We really appreciate it, Brian.
Absolutely. Good to be on with you guys.
All right. There's Brian Fisher here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, we'll get to that Yuli story and more right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525, 25, or HRP.net. No matter what issue you have with your people at your work, you need help, okay? Because you don't want to be doing this yourself. You don't need to be accountable or liable for whatever happens with your HR decisions. And instead, you have an HR department that is excellent at what they do, give you great information. They've given us great information before when we've had issues, employee issues, and no, it wasn't Granado. Okay, so here's the deal, is that's an important part of your, very important part of your business that you need to take care of, that you can't do yourself, and you can't do it without the expertise that they have at HRP. And then the payroll. I mean, how much are you spending on your payroll if you've got 15, 20 employees or more? Goodness gracious, you are wasting money in a payroll department that you just don't need when you can do it so much more economically, efficiently. Technology is second to none at HRP. You're going to find out that you're going to do it a lot better when you have HRP on your side. So if you're looking for a payroll company or an HR company, give them a call and let them customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all.
Check it out.
Yo, I find the show, rhyme till it's time to go.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, so Carlos Baerga, former.
Oh, you can't say that word on. That's a bad word.
That's different. It's Viagra.
Oh, whew.
Viagra.
Wow, I thought you said something different, John.
Apparently, he has a. I don't know if it's a podcast or what. It's Me Gustan Los Deportes. I like sports. With Carlos Viagra and sus amigos. It's all in Spanish. He posted a beautiful picture. That's a nice tweet right there, isn't it? It's very pretty.
Yeah, the graphic.
Yuli Gurriel, firmado, un año pendiente físico. He's signed 1 year with pending a physical with the Boston Red Sox. Then, Carlos Baerga, Yuli Gurriel, se rumora.
Oh, rumored, it's a rumor.
1 año, 1 year, supposedly. That's what he put out after that. So maybe, you know, maybe it's not sure now. Maybe yeah. Carlos jumped the gun.
Uh-huh.
That
was a real Baerga move of him.
Well, I mean, the innuendo that you're using now.
No, it's a move that Carlos Baerga would
FCC
do.
Would, the,
it's a move Carlos Baerga would do.
The FCC would not be happy with you, okay?
That I just, what are you talking about?
Okay, so.
That's a move. That's a total Carlos Baerga move.
Carlos Baerga move?
Yeah. It's a total Carlos Baerga move.
Totally Baerga move.
What?
For those who don't know what Baerga is.
Yeah, he was an amazing second baseman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was Baerga, there was Biggio, and there was Alomar. Those are the big three at the time. Remember that?
Yeah.
The big three second baseman. That's what I'm talking about. What are you talking about?
Was it Carlos Baerga that wrote the book and then he wanted, and his reliever wanted to kill him? Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Wrote a book
about.
And then it was full of rumors?
It was.
Like this?
No,
Rumeras like, or whatever?
No, it was about. It was about the World Series that Cleveland was in and he blamed the closer for. For losing the game, losing to Miami. Do you remember that? And I think it was Baerga wrote the book. Hmm. Yeah. Anyway,
I didn't remember that.
You don't remember that? Yeah. That helped happen. And I don't know that there were many Baerga jokes.
Sounds like a true story.
Yeah.
I cannot be the first one that's made a Baerga joke.
No, you can't.
It's impossible.
No, you can't.
I just like that you know Spanish, and I know Spanish bad words.
You know, bad is a bad word. Don't be a Baerga and say that anymore, okay? Okay, so just let's...
If it's a Baerga move, it means you're putting rumors out there.
Yeah.
About our guy, Yuli.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
I would be disappointed if Yuli went to the Red Sox.
But there's no signs at all that he'll be
an Astro, I know.
There's no signs. Have you even heard about an offer?
No.
How about your boy, Carlos? Who's the other team? It's probably going to get done today. Is there they say there's another team supposedly that was in the mix, or is that just Scott Boras making sure he keeps the Mets honest?
I do believe.
Oh, it's probably the Twins.
This is probably getting done today.
You think so?
Yeah, this is probably getting done today.
Well, good for him.
Please don't say Me Vale Baerga. Don't say it.
Baerga.
Baerga. Right. Yeah.
No, I would. I don't even know what that means.
You don't know what that means? It isn't worth Baerga.
No.
Yeah, that's what it means. that's quite an expression that they use quite often.
Uh-huh.
It isn't worth anything. Me vale Baerga.
You know, my Colombian friend, Harold Keano, is HQ. You know, you play poker with HQ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Harold. Yeah.
Party boy.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Yeah. And he's the guy that brings all the energy. Like we used to go to Louisiana when it was riverboats, when you gambled, where you could go there, me and him and Uncle Freddie.
When you had to actually be on the water.
And you had to wait until it pulled off, and then you could gamble. And what sucked is we're young. We didn't come with much money. And if we went empty early, it's like, damn, we're just sitting on this damn boat.
You didn't know where to go.
Nothing. I just got nothing to do. But he always says, you ever heard this phrase? My buddy Christian from Belize was telling me, you know, like, dale huevo. Have you ever heard it? Give me an egg.
Yeah.
But it's like, I know that's like Harold always says that. He always says that. Or I can't actually. I got to be careful about what I say. Yeah, I know some of these are bad words.
Well, Weibos are different too.
Yeah. So So I think it's like
about D's.
You gotta, those yeah, are D's. Let's bring it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Dale Weibo. He gets. You'll hear him yell that just randomly as soon as somebody's going to be taking shots. Yeah. If you hear that. Dale Weibo. Oh, looks like we're doing shots. Here we go.
Yeah.
And se acabó el cuentico. You know that?
Say what?
Se acabó el cuentico?
No. I never heard that.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of sayings, Mexican sayings, that I don't know because I didn't learn Spanish in Mexico.
Yeah, that's another one. And then there's another one that I'm pretty sure means to make dirty on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say it. Oh. En tu leche or en diez. Like he would say that when he's throwing dice.
Yeah.
Like if his point is 10.
Right.
Or en tu leche.
Yeah, right.
You throw it. And I'm just like, God, this is such a beautiful language. I just love that you can say things like that. It's probably the equivalent of somebody from a Spanish-speaking culture saying, man, the Italians, can you believe some of the things they come up with, some of the sayings and phrases? It's just great.
Yeah, that is awesome. All right, we're going to call Jeff Ketchum and talk to him about Chris Beard. That'll be on the other side. Chris Beard fired yesterday by the University of Texas.
It was official, and now we'll see if the fireworks begin. But University of Texas was pretty definitive. Their lawyers were pretty definitive with the statements they had and the comments they made.
We'll talk about it on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about your prostate and Dr. Manavis. And she is unbelievable. She is so good, guys. She is the best. If you have an enlarged prostate, not cancerous. If it's cancerous, then that's a different deal. But if it's not cancerous, she's going to take an MRI, she's going to take an X-ray, and she's going to take an MRI. She's going to make sure that it's not a cancerous prostate. And if it's not a cancerous prostate, if it's enlarged, you could have ED problems. Certainly, you could have urinary tract infections. You could have kidney problems. You could have bladder problems. All of these things could make you end up in the hospital and actually could be dangerous. So here's the deal is you need Doc Manavis because you need her more than you need a surgery, way more than you need a surgery. The surgery for your prostate is horrific. You don't want that. Doc Manavis is such a simple process. It's an IV that you will sit and take for about 45 minutes. Then she wants you to hang out for a half hour or so, and then you're back to work, you're back to play, you're back to golfing, you're back to doing everything. You're not going to the bathroom every 5 minutes. You're not worried about all of the urinary tract and problems that you could have. ED, 100% of patients with erectile dysfunction that have come to Dr. Manavis with BPH have complete resolution of ED. That is unbelievable. So look, if you have an enlarged prostate, if you have the symptoms of an enlarged prostate, 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jeff Ketchum, Orange Blood, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about this Chris Beard situation. Ketch, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good. It's good to be back with John and Lance. It feels like it's been a hot minute, and all these warm fuzzies are kind of overcoming my body as I think of all of our previous encounters over the years. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing great. You take care of your body. Please don't do it while you're talking to us, but you take care of your body, and we'll have this conversation about Chris Beard. Not surprising, and the right call to fire him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the university feels like something happened that night after all of its digging around. And look, you know, I think one of the initial questions on this was in the police report, Chris Beard claims to the police officer that he's got video evidence, tape that will prove his innocence. I think one of the very first things that happened was they were like, yo, show us this video that you claim exists, and that apparently does not exist. And they can't get beyond the fact that there's a belief that something crossed the line that night. And that was kind of it. They're really, this idea that the charges might eventually get dropped, which they could. You know, I think in less than 12 months, I think from a legal side of things, Chris Beard's probably going to be in the clear. At worst, this probably gets dropped from a felony charge to some sort of misdemeanor, and then you go from there. But from the University of Texas's perspective, they just couldn't get beyond what life would look like to have a basketball coach who, you know, I mean, we can all close our eyes and imagine going on the road in the Big 12 and mugshots being everywhere and every fan base kind of doing its version of the let's make fun of this situation. And for Texas, they just felt like something happened that night, and that was kind of it. And really, for the last few weeks, in their mind, they've been trying to get Chris Beard to resign with what they think would be some sort of dignity that, go ahead, resign. You can then take your time, get your life back together, you know, clear yourself of these charges, if at all possible, begin to public rehab your name. And then in a year or two, you're back in the game, and it might not be with Texas, but, you know, you're back in the college game. And that just never came close to happening from what I can tell. And then this week they set a deadline of 10 a.m. yesterday, the final deadline. There have been several deadlines, and at no point had he ever come close to resigning on any of these deadlines. He didn't resign by 10 a.m. yesterday, and he was out the door by 1:30. I can't remember exactly what time it was when that happened. It all feels like a blur, but this was always where we were headed.
Ketch, was it all about, I mean, obviously his reputation and things like that, if he thinks that he was that this was a wrongful arrest or whatever the case may be, but how much of this was actually about money? That if he resigns, you know, he wasn't going to be able to get his money? Because they ended up firing him without cause, and I know that me right now, I'm just thinking, okay, and my wife even mentioned this, who's a Longhorn you know, has a law degree. She said, if he ends up being found either not guilty or the case is dropped, you know, there is definitely that chance that then he goes after the university and tries to.
Well, he was fired with cause.
He was fired with cause.
You said without.
Cause. Yeah. So you can, you know, you don't have to pay him anything. But obviously, Chris Beard is going to go after that contract and going to go after that money because he's going to say, if the case is dropped, there was no cause. I should still get my money. How much is the money, did that play in how Beard handled this?
I mean, it's always about money to some extent. So, you know, he has apparently a clause in his contract that says if he gets arrested for a felony charge, they can fire him and not be on the hook for any of it. So from what I've heard, you know, I wrote this on the website on Orange Bloods last night, but the University of Texas is always concerned about being sued. And they dictate a lot of what happens based on what they think might happen in response with regards to being sued and tied up in litigation and the ugliness that can kind of come along with the process. Not this time. The sense that I got really since this happened was that Texas felt like it was in a good position legally to get rid of him if and when that moment approached itself. Now, I don't think that, you know, obviously Chris Beard and his lawyer, they want to get as much money, $35 million or so, like, left on that deal. But I get the sense that Texas isn't worried that if this were to ever go into litigation, some sort of lawsuit, they feel like they are on very good footing. And I haven't sensed that they ever once flinched with regards to where their positioning is. I do think part of the not resigning element from Chris Beard is the continued hope that somehow, some way, he's not completely out of all of that money. That's kind of where this thing could go from here. I mean, there continue to be threats that a lawsuit could occur. But again, I would stress that, and I can't stress this part enough, this never happens where I sense that Texas is overconfident with its position that they're like, go ahead, sue us. We'll see what happens. We feel pretty good about things. It does appear to be the case this time. And I can't imagine when it's all said and done that this goes too far. I don't know that Chris Beard wants this thing to go into discovery. I think that this thing gets – ultimately what Chris Beard really needs to do is begin the process of getting this thing cleared up from a legal perspective, and then he's got to kind of rebuild his image again. Look, he's going to coach in major college basketball again.
You think?
I think for Texas, it just couldn't be at UT. And I think there's some backstory here. You know, if you go back to 2018, Texas had a professor that had been found guilty of, and this really hasn't, I kept waiting for this article to pop up somewhere because it's kind of an ugly chapter in the University of Texas's history. But in 2018, they had a professor that was convicted of a violent domestic assault. And they didn't fire him because from their position, they didn't feel like he was a dangerous component on campus. They end up changing the rules because of the fuss that was made over this situation. This guy ends up dying, if I'm not mistaken, from suicide back in 2018. And from that moment, Texas, I think, has felt like if and when in a position where there's another major situation involving somebody accused of domestic assault, that it would take a different position than the one that it took back in 2018 when it somewhat covered for this professor on campus, and here we are. And I think that a lot of this, their reaction stems from probably getting it wrong in the first place 5 years ago. I think on some level the school's been waiting, not waiting, that's the wrong choice of words, but in this day and age there's always going to be another situation that follows. And I think from that moment in 2018, the feeling was they would get it right the next time. It just so happens the next time with Chris Beard. And I got to be honest, like I said, the moment that this happened, I'm really surprised by this because I thought Chris Beard is such the dream coach on paper for UT, especially going into a new building. It's like they've waited their entire lives to have Chris Beard to Texas. I thought they would fight. Well, we'll wait. We'll let this thing play out. Let's give Beard every chance possible to retain this position because he's the guy that we wanted for so long. And yet, almost from the moment that it happened, all I've heard is he's done, and it's just a matter of when the finality occurs.
Jeff Ketchum, we're almost out of time here in this hour, Ketch. Where are we on Sark after year two?
Not good enough. An elite-level recruiter, but 13-12 through his first 25 games, no bowl wins. You know, the Kansas State win this year is probably the best accomplishment that he's made. At some point, he needs to start winning games. I don't think he's under any pressure, but not good enough.
Yeah.
Period.
You've been around. You've seen Mac operate. You've seen the guys who failed after Mac. Does he have the personality like – How do you think from a personality standpoint he fits?
I think his personality is fine. I think I question just whether he's good enough. I mean, we're you know, and his defenders will say, look, when he was at Washington, he's taken over a program that was really floundering and he got it back to respectability. You look at USC, he wasn't there long enough through his own doing to really prove what he was capable of. We're still talking about a coach that has very few top 25 seasons under his belt. I don't view him on game day as a guy that over the course of 60 minutes gives the Longhorns an edge. You know, he's considered a great offensive mind, but there are times during games when offensively you wonder, why is Bijan not touching the ball? Why
I know. That was
on
crazy.
A day when your quarterback is struggling and Why are you throwing it 50 times at Oklahoma State when your quarterback can't hit the broadside of a barn? So he still just has a lot to prove.
Mm. That's Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ketch, good talking to you. We appreciate the insight.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Appreciate
Jeff
it,
Ketchum
Ketch.
Here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking right now about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf gives you more for your vehicle. John Clay Wolf is crazy. This dude is nuts. But this dude, he had an idea. He said, I'm going to go buy cars, then I'm going to sell them at auction. And you know what? I'll make whatever I make. But I'm going to give people more for their vehicle than anybody else will. That is a good business model. Because John Clay Wolf is giving you more. And listen, do you want more for your vehicle or do you want less for your vehicle? Okay, that's the question.
Less! Does anyone say that?
No one has ever said that. No one has
ever. I was wondering if that question has ever met with a less.
No. No, the answer is always more, more, more. I want more for my vehicle. So here's the deal is John Clay Wolf has a great business model. The business model is let me pay you more for that vehicle, and let me see what I can get for it at auction. And even if I'm making pennies on the dollar, the volume that I do, because of I am giving more, I'm going to do more volume than anyone else, I'm going to win. And you know who wins? John Clay Wolf. And you know who else wins? You, because you get more for your vehicle. So if you're going to sell your vehicle, there's one place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.